When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello! Thank you for coming back, as always. It's great to see you. Does it look like I'm looking right at you? Does it look like I'm staring? Are you listening or watching? Because if you're watching, that's going to be weird. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundsen.
It's a tough watch. I'm ready for this show to go back to in person.
I am too.
I know we both are, but this is...
We talked about it. We both got messages from our show at Acme where we were in person, and people liked it. People seemed to like it. So I'm very excited to do it as well, mostly because if you ever say something mean to me, then I can smack you and we can listen to the noise.
I don't think you would follow through on that.
No, I won't.
You can only spend so much time in a one-on-one Zoom relationship where the person has a neon light on behind them before you feel like you're in a serious relationship with a cam girl. So I'm ready to stop feeling like you're my long-distance sexual partner.
Well, now that I'm just finding this out, I'm ready to continue like
I'm ready to be an in-person sexual partner of yours.
Well... I can't wait. Get ready. Looks like I'm not going to have to smack you to hear those noises.
I'm bringing the noises, yeah.
My daughter is 19.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her and her boyfriend. They've been together for 4 years. 4 years.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people get weird about the high school relationship going into college. But I got to tell you, it's a pretty good kid.
Sure.
They seem pretty happy together.
Sure.
This isn't like one of those, because please trust me, please, if you know anything about me, you know that if there was one sign of danger, I would be wedging in the middle of those two fuckwads in 1 second, and I would be breaking them up, and I would, because I've, from the time she was a little girl, I've done all these things to make sure that it's going to be impossible to be her boyfriend. Impossible to live up to the standard of her father. And somehow this kid has stuck around for 4 years.
First of all, super healthy of you. Second of all...
Yeah, it is.
What? And are you convinced that your sociopath or manipulator or just downright pretend when you're around parents meter is so good that... you're unfoolable? Or is it a combination of he seems like a good kid and you raised the right sort of daughter? Because I don't think you're unfoolable.
I think it's both of those, and also I watch when they don't think I'm watching. I mean, it's a lot of stuff involved here.
But what does that mean?
Where, listen, I've talked to other kids. I bring it up so inconspicuously. I talk to other parents.
Right. There's no inconspicuous way. Hi, children. I'd like to casually discuss my daughter and her boyfriend. I don't know if you
What I know. What I like to do is I like to go into churches and I read to the children.
Sure.
I read to the children and I go, Do you guys know this guy? Are you familiar with this name?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, yeah, he was on the hockey team. I go, what do you think about him? And they're like, he was real nice to us.
Okay.
So, but 4 years, and it's interesting now because in her immediate family, mother, brother, father, no one has a longer relationship. She is at 19, the fucking relationship queen of this family. She somehow has become the matriarch of our family relationship wise. So I'm, you know, I'm not in a new relationship. I'm not in one that long, right? I'm coming up on a year here.
Yep.
This is going to be fucking great. And I'm so excited to ask my daughter for advice on how she keeps the flame alive. Right? I mean, when your daughter is born, you never, right? You have all these thoughts. You have a million thoughts go through your head, but never is one of them when she looks at you going, don't, when you're leaving the house and she goes, don't forget, communication is key. I mean, shit like that. It's like, I'm going to her like, what do you think? Should we talk more? How did you guys do it? 4 years. That's a fucking lifetime.
Yeah. Every time you and Kelsey struggle, just cut to you cross-legged on your daughter's bed. How do you make her tell you what she's thinking?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and it's so I watch for examples instead of asking her questions. Yikes. I'm like, oh, maybe I should be doing this more, right? But I can't just run to the local ice cream shop because it makes my girlfriend shit her pants. So it's like, I got to take some of the good, some of the bad. I got to figure it out. I got to sift through it. It sucks.
Now, do you lean towards the because you're the man. In your gender whatever the term is.
Yeah.
You're the man.
There's one man, there's one woman, and I am the man.
Yes, correct. Do you, so obviously you can ask your daughter for advice, but do you find yourself looking to your daughter's boyfriend as an example?
Yeah. I mean, listen. Don't think for a second that I don't know some of these 4 years are because of the abdominal muscles.
Sure.
So I'm in there doing crunches. I'm getting in there doing
crunches. You're under 192.
I mean, two pieces of pizza versus an entire pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really trying to focus it in. Now, I know that Kelsey knows I'm old and that this is not going to last. My health.
Yeah.
My abs.
Yeah.
My getting abs. Eventually, it's all going to go away. So I'm just getting in there. I'm building a solid base. And I'm looking with jealous eyes onto my daughter and her relationship.
What about double dating with your daughter? Is there?
I don't think so.
But I mean, I don't mean.
Pass of all fucking time.
I know it is, but I understand you're not going to be like, let's all go on a double date. But inevitably, one day you're going to sit down with a blizzard outside of a Dairy Queen and you're going to look at Kelsey and then you're going to look at across the table.
Sure.
And you're going to go, fuck, we're on a double date with my daughter.
Yeah, but it's not a double date at that point, right? I mean, it's a father-daughter outing and there are
significant others.
Two significant others with.
Mm-hmm. Like a father-daughter double date.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly how it would be. Now, the good news is I don't feel like I need any advice relationship wise yet because things are going great, but I am keeping an eye on this 4 year thing. That's pretty impressive.
Does she hold it above you guys? Does she know? I mean, because also, like you said, your son, he is engaged to be wed.
Engaged to be married. Yeah.
And he's not even 4 years deep.
Right.
The children's mother is in a relationship, but she's not 4 years deep. So
yeah, I don't think so.
So does she know it? Does she wear it? Does she strut it around?
Oh, she wears it. She wears it proudly because I was saying like, hey, Kelsey and I are coming up on a year and, you know, getting excited about it. And she's like, nice try, rookie. I mean, sure. It's tough.
Yeah, sure.
It is tough. She goes, well, maybe if you guys, you know, keep going, maybe you'll get to 4 years eventually, but.
Do people, because that was my gut instinct, is because I remember my niece Ellie, she took her high school boyfriend. They ventured into college together.
Right.
That does weird people out sometimes.
Yeah, I think it does. Well, here's what's really interesting is when people, you know, I'll say like, oh, it was too late, so I let him stay over at the cabin. And people are like, what? You let him stay over? Do you know what kinds of things? Like, their fucking dorms are almost touching each other.
Yeah.
2,500 miles away. Every time I FaceTime, I hear, hey, Chad.
Yeah.
That's not you know,
yeah.
a friend, that's her boyfriend. So I know they're constantly with each other. She sent me a short video that one of her classmates made because she's out in Southern California. It's all they do, right? Even if you're taking biology, you have to film it.
Sure.
And so she sends me this video project and they're kissing on the beach. I almost barfed while I was crying. It was a tough thing to watch. It was a tough thing to watch because I'm very happy for them, but I'm also, it grosses me out. I'm the dad.
It's, yeah, these parents who think, I don't know, there's a median there, right? Median's not the right word. There's a middle ground. Sure. There's a middle ground in between. You don't want to be the parents like, everybody drinks at my house because I know if you're drinking at my house, at least you're drinking safe. Like, fuck you, lady. There's a difference between that and like, you let them sleep. Like, I've got bad news for you, parents. If your kid's trying to hump, they're going to find a place to hump, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
If you knew the amount of teenagers who found after-hours playgrounds and did things to each other in the tunnel slide, I'm telling you, there's place.
You get that kind of back muscles? You think you get that kind of back muscles doing normal pull-ups?
No. That's exactly
hooked. You're hooked on at a weird angle on some sort of fucking jungle gym, and you're trying to give her butt.
You're on the nets, you know? There was a park by my house where, you know, the point is...
Right, sure.
The point is... I would say the place that I would be least likely to commit sexual actions with my partner is in their parents' house who willingly invited me to stay. I would almost want to do that. Like, you know how, like, whispery quiet? That's the last place that I would ever want. You let him stay? Yeah, because on the drive home, somebody's, you know... Getting herkin' jerked. I'm sorry, you're the dad.
You don't have to. We don't have to talk.
I was pulling it away from their situation, and I was making it about the world. I'm responding to those people. I understand.
Yeah. Now you could never get away with that because it's hard to whisper choke me. But with other people, I think it's fine. And you know what I say to them? You know what I say to them when I leave them? So first of all, I go, hey,
hold on. That reminds me, anybody who's watched me do stand-up in the last 100 years knows that I, much like this show, I can only tell stories. I'm not a good joke writer. But back in the early days of stand-up, when I was trying to write jokes, I did have this joke, and it was about somebody had given sex advice, and it was like a woman who'd spoke, and it was how to help your partner achieve a full-fledged orgasm, like like the best type of, and there were little tricks, and one of the tricks was that if your partner takes a deep breath right before they finish, right before they have an orgasm, it'll really increase it and really help out. So as the partner, she said, what you're supposed to do is as they're close, you're supposed to lean into their ear and whisper, breathe deeply, which I just think is a weird thing to whisper if somebody's choking the shit out of you.
Yeah. It's like, guess what you can't do? Yeah. It's like giving a guy in a wheelchair a standing ovation. Listen,
breathe
it's not
deeply.
Yeah. Breathe deeply. I'm not into it. I don't have to get into it.
No, come on. Let's keep going where you were going. I just remembered the only jokey joke I wrote in my entire career. That and one about shark attacks. Let's keep going.
So what I like to tell them is before I leave them alone and I go to bed, I say, please, for the love of God and all that is holy, do not shatter my insanity. My sanity. Do not shatter my sanity because they know what that means. They giggle and they look at each other and then he gets a red face and it's like, just let me stay sane. And you know what's going to break that.
Yeah.
You know it's going to break that. And then what I'll do is I have to pee a lot. I'm old. And I drink a lot of water right before bed because I go, oh, shit, I only had one glass of water today. So then I drink three of them to make sure that I don't get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go downstairs and I'll rip the door open. They're pocket doors. and I stick my little fingers in there like a fucking raccoon and I just rip it open and there's no knocking. There's no nothing.
Is that the
and
right call? But that feels like it keeps them on their toes. But one time you're wrong. One time you're wrong and there's your,
yeah.
It's gone. Your sanity is catapulted into the sun.
It's absolutely catapulted into the sun. And let me ask you this, is if someone's murdered, is that considered breaking up? Because listen, I got a lot of chain out at the lake and chain doesn't float. You feel me, right? Look at me in the eyes. You feel me?
I feel you.
Chain doesn't float.
I feel you. I'm a more sex forward person. So I just want Olivia and her boyfriend to be safe. And I also think you're going to make a good pop. And if you have to be,
for a long time.
Who knows? Isaac's getting married.
That's true.
Isaac can now create you a little grandbaby in a way that, is the dude, we had a family friend who used to call it the natural order of things, and I sure didn't like that. That wasn't the natural order of things. I didn't care for that. But I think you're going to be a great pop. You know?
That's nice of you to say.
Yeah. I think you'll be a fun but stern pop.
Well, that's really nice of you. I know you're trying to rev my engine here and it's not working because
is it not
earlier
working?
Today,
you're not responding. It's working,
earlier today.
But you're,
no, I'm telling you.
You're impressive.
I'm so calm.
Yeah,
let me tell you
impressive.
Why. Earlier today, my engine was revved to the red line.
Mm-hmm.
It was revved to a place I had not seen it revved in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my engine broke. And so right
overheated.
Now, there's no revving.
Now you're just on the side of the road. We can't even turn it on.
Whatever you want
what
to
happened?
Say, it's like,
baby, what's
I'm not
wrong?
Even,
what happened?
I'm not even registering. I'm okay.
What
I'm
sort fine. Of metaphorical pocket door did you rip open that broke your engine?
We're good.
Are we good?
I'm great.
Yeah. Well, we'll just let this stumble out later in the show.
Hey, betterhelp.com. I'm just kidding.
So do you remember a couple weeks ago we discussed monkeys in the Midwest being allowed to smoke or not allowed to smoke cigarettes? And we, of course, spoke of the Monkey Bar, which is a neighborhood bar near my house where they kept a monkey that liked to smoke and drink. People around here listen to this show. And a good friend of mine, who listened to this show, he said, yeah, I got to tell you something, because we might have inferred that you and I, that was, maybe animal abuse.
Sure.
Yeah. Letting a monk, we might have inferred that isn't like a chill thing to do, introduce a wild creature to the habits of drinking and smoking.
No, I think it's great, and I think that as long as you let the monkey leave, go back to his monkey family, kick the dog because he's drunk, whatever people do.
Sure.
Then I think it's fine. But when it's closing time, it's like, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, except you fucking
monkey.
And then
you
throw him
monkey.
In a closet.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he gets out at opening time. That's a problem.
Well, apparently he had a big cage. That was his home. He had a big monkey cage and he lived at the bar.
Well, this monkey's fucking lucky it didn't go to the Cincinnati Zoo, because primates don't have a great lifespan at the Cincinnati
Zoo. There is one very famous primate shooting. So.
Gorilla.
My friend told me he wanted to make sure I understood the whole story, and here's the story he told me. We're obviously familiar with Jane Goodall, renowned scientist and researcher of the monkey world.
Until 1981 was called an apist, but it was a little too close, so they stopped that.
I would say there is no other person. Is there somebody more synonymous with studying a single type of animal? Because is there a Jane Goodall of giraffes? I mean, and obviously monkeys are primates, so they're more related to us.
I don't think so.
And I'm sure there is, if you're deep in the monkey game, right? Or you're deep in the whale game, you're like, That's Jacques' last name that I didn't come up with in this moment. He's the whale Cousteau? Guy. No, see, that's sure. what I was. That's where I was gonna go. Anyway, I just there's not. I don't. I can't think of anybody else that's that famous for studying a specific animal. Well,
Jeffrey Dahmer, men.
Yeah, Siegfried and Roy trained. They were famous for spending time with tigers, but not. Yeah. Then there's the Tiger ones, King the guy.
Well,
yeah,
we don't know.
We have no idea. So Jane, here's the story. So,
okay,
the Cincinnati Zoo is a very respected, renowned zoo, and the curator of the Cincinnati Zoo is a was a very respected, renowned individual. And apparently, he had Jane Goodall was coming into the Cincinnati Zoo. And I've been told, I think this is correct, the monkey at the monkey bar who used to rip heaters and drink, his name was Sam. Sam okay. the monkey. Nice. And per my friend's story, when Jane Goodall landed, she said right to the zoo curator, he's like, well, you ready? We're going to take you to the zoo or the hotel or what? You know, we're going to take you where you need to go. And she's like, before we do anything else, I'd like to go meet Sam. She'd heard about the monkey bar. She'd like to go meet Sam. And so he drove her, and Jane Goodall spent time with Sam, the drinking and smoking monkey. And then she goes, okay, I'm ready to go. And as they were leaving, she told him, that's the happiest chimp or whatever he was that I've ever seen. That's the story.
And should be probably a commercial for Jack Daniels.
What? And I don't want to contradict my friend. That's why I'm not using his name. I don't want to. Okay. But I'm going to tell you, if I've got a monkey at my bar in a cage, and people are like, should you have that monkey there? You know what I'm telling them? Jane Goodall said this was the happiest monkey she's ever seen. There's no way Jane Goodall came to your river bar, saw your smoking monkey in a cage, and said, of all the monkeys that I've studied in my renowned monkey studying career, this chain-smoking, drinking monkey in a cage, he is right where he needs to be.
We all know it's your buddy from Bound Tie Kill Painting. But listen.
It's not. It's actually not. I have a second friend. You know who it is.
I have to tell you something.
I have three friends.
In geometry,
okay.
In 10th grade, I was figuring out this proof, and we had... So I was in 10th grade, but we had two freshmen in there that always figured things out before everybody else.
Show off.
And so this time I go, you know what? I'm going to read the chapter. I'm going to do the homework. And tomorrow when he gives us his proof, I'm going to fucking stomp everybody. And so he gives us the first step in a proof. Everybody knows that's given. And then I worked my way through and I beat these two freshmen, even though I should have because I was in 10th grade. It's a bigger number. I beat them to the answer, and the teacher from his desk looked at me and he said, you are the happiest monkey I have ever seen. And so when you brought that story up, it brought me right back to 10th grade. I could smell the school cafeteria. I could feel the anticipation of me getting this answer in the air. And I remember him looking right at me and saying that.
Do you have a least favorite teacher from high school? When I say worst teacher, does someone ping into your brain?
Uh-uh. Okay. I mean, I really found, and this isn't like whatever, but I really found something kind of cool about all of them. And it certainly wasn't the teacher part of them. I mean, there was a guy named Dorwin Hansen he taught American Lit. That's the
Dorwin, not Darwin. Dorwin.
Dorwin. Yep.
Ugh, love it.
And he carried a coffee thermos, and would always go outside. And you know, teachers weren't supposed to smoke on the property. He would just sneak out, and we'd see him through the window smoking. So that I mean, I liked all that shit. Even if he gave me trouble, but he was a really cool dude. I think all the teachers were. I don't know. I can't say this for every teacher, but I think all the teachers at my school when I was coming up wanted to ultimately help. Now, I did not make that easy.
Sure.
Because I was always fucking chip, chirping away.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, nobody really got after me too much, which was nice.
I always thought it was fun to see a teacher in the real world. You know, you're like, ah, the teacher's at JCPenney's. That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the grocery store and you get to see what they eat. You're yeah. like, oh, shit. Yeah. Or
they're right. Or you 3 years make out of high enough.
School. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Or 3 years out of high school, you see him at the liquor store and you're like, oh, you dirty motherfucker.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. You don't want to. That's why you got to get out of your hometown. You don't want to be like, hey,
right.
The math teacher is too drunk to stand on Wednesday. You don't want to see that.
Yeah, I had a tough time. I don't know if you did, but even when I'm, you know, I still think I'll call, like I had this wonderful lady that taught us in the visual arts and she taught English too, but she was just great. She was the coach for the speech team and everything. And her name was Mrs. Prishman. And I still call her Mrs. Prishman. Olivia is best friends with one of her granddaughters. I see her all the time at these events, and I just cannot call her by her first name. It's fucking weird.
Oh, I can't.
Because I'm a grown
No,
up.
I think that's
I'm
very normal. There's one. Okay. My second grade teacher lived next to my parents, and I was like 25, going home like, "Hey, Mrs. Tate." Like I don't think it. Yeah, yeah, that never changes.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
I'm surprised that you didn't, you seem like a guy who could have an enemy, you know, you seem like you make enough trouble that one teacher would really dislike you. And then the problem is like, there were teachers who disliked me, but even as a high school kid, I had to be like, yeah, she's not wrong. Miss Copperwood knows her shit. She's on it. I'm the worst. I'm not going to admit that. I'm going to run around like she's the worst, but I'm the worst.
We say, sup, Mrs. Copperwood.
Come on now.
You need to understand that you asked me if I didn't like any teachers. Are there any teachers that don't like me? That's a different... That's
but I'm saying with those teachers, they're eventually like... I think you and I both have a trail of teachers that are like, no, thank you. But within those teachers, how they choose to respond to you, I'm just surprised that you didn't develop a... real mutual disdain with at least one teacher.
No, because I'm like you. I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
This makes sense to me.
Mine, the one that I had a problem with is the one who, it's weird when you're a kid, you're like a high school age kid and you know well enough to go, ah, you're a shitty teacher. Like you're bad at being, you're shitty at your job. Like,
sure.
You dislike someone because they make, you know, I don't want to do homework. Ugh, you're going to do this. You're going to do. But when you see something like, you actually make class easier, but I think it's because you suck at your job. That was always a tough one for me. There's one specific teacher that was that way for me.
We had a guy that he was a history teacher. So we had two of the polar opposite history teachers. It was awesome. One of them is like a hockey legend. He is known for being part of the hockey program since it began in Fergus Falls. And he would always show us movies. It was either like Slapshot. I remember we got to watch the 1992 Olympics.
Oh, great.
When Ray LeBlanc was the goalie and he took his goalie glove off and his fingers were all fucking broken and gross. And so that's the kind of shit we did in his class. And then the other guy, Mr. Christofferson, when you would get an A, if someone got an A on his test, he would do a flag dance and he would like... with two miniature flags just like all over the place. And he would stand up on people's desks and walk across the desks. That's the hardest I ever fucking tried in a class because I was like, I want him to have to walk across the desks. This is so fun that an adult is doing this. So that's the hardest I tried to get an A was in history.
Sure. That makes sense. Did you have a homeroom? Is that a thing you had in school?
In 7th and 8th grade, we had a homeroom.
We had high school homeroom. It was like 15 minutes. And I don't know how I got lucky. And we had the one great home where every time you'd walk in there, her name was Mrs. Lovelace. She's like, donuts? And she was the, I don't know if she was special education or she was whatever version of developmental, like disabled, like some sort of like special.
Sai, look at me. How long did you stay in the class?
So she would, but she was one of those teachers who you could just walk in and you'd be like, hey, I think I'm going home. She'd go, okay, see ya. She didn't, there was nothing, she very much had a lax view of how school worked. And because of that, I wanted to try very hard for her.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a mafia study hall teacher. Mm. So I had study hall. I didn't do band or choir or anything. I think my senior year I had 3 or 4 study halls. I'm not sure. Not but it was a lot. And so I'd go into the first one and we'd go up to this lady and be like, hey, do you care if we go to Hardee's and get some of those muffins with the icing? And she's like, I don't care. As long as you bring me one. It was like mafia shit.
Sure.
Like, as long as I can take a little off the top.
Yeah, as long as I can skim.
One of those muffins that fell off the truck. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the Hardee's cookies. Because you're 20, 30 years older than me, so I don't recall these muffins.
Yeah.
But when you first had kids, do you remember when they went to the cookies that came in the cookie sleeve? If you're ranking...
If you're...
ordering a muffin from a Hardee's. If you're ranking, you take all the meals out of it because cinnamonies are obviously a breakfast meal item.
Sure.
But we're talking the dessert treats, and you can't. I think you got to take out of it Dairy Queen, which is a purely dessert restaurant. That was ice cream first, food second. So we're talking McDonald's, Culver's, Burger King's, and you're talking McDonald's has the turnovers and the McFlurries. Sure. You know, Hardee's had the muffins and the cookies, the big round cookies. Burger King with the Hershey's and Reese's pies. What's the Chad Daniels, the heavy Chad? How are you power ranking these?
Winter, I go Subway cookies.
Oh, Subway. How the fuck did I forget Subway cookies? Subway cookies.
Can I say something? No fucking idea, idiot. Okay, so Subway cookies.
Also, you got to throw Papa Murphy's cookie dough in there. You just get a tub of cookie dough and you just mash it. I mean. Then do you have to include all the pizza stuff?
I'll go cookie dough, but, and then it goes Subway cookies in the winter, and then summertime, M&M McFlurry. I do love McDonald's soft serve ice cream. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's probably ice cream or
no chance
considered soft serve.
No chance.
But whatever it is, what it's whipped cocaine.
Yeah.
And I love it because it gets me through drives.
Well, they have the mini. They use the mini M&Ms, if I recall correctly. Isn't that the situation there?
They do. And I've had this argument with a comedian out in D.C. where he's like, you got to get the Oreo. M&M, it sucks. The M&Ms are hard. I'm like... Do you mean the granular Oreo cookie that's fucking frozen that gets into where your fillings are? No. So for me, it's M&M's. If you make me eat an Oreo McFlurry, that is towards the bottom of my list. But M&M is top notch for winter, and then Subway cookies, and then just year round. You know I love cookie dough. Year round.
So I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I forgot Subway cookies.
We should be
Godfather's dessert pizza. That's where that's at. But I think, yeah, underrated on this list because it's so old and it's such a classic, and maybe they don't even do them anymore. Is the turnover, the apple turnover at McDonald's? My dad, he was one of those. I'm gonna go through the drive-through and order dessert for me and nothing for you. That was his move time and again. I've got to go Subway cookies number one. I'm gonna go the cookie dough from Papa Murphy's number two. The only reason I would go the is there anything more disappointed when you walk into it? Because when you go into a Subway, I don't know how it works for you, but I am 30 to 40% there for the sub, and 70 to 60% there. I should have done that the other way. 60 to 70% there. You get it. For the cookies, right? You're there when you've decided to eat at the shitbox sandwich store that is Subway. You are
allegedly.
You have to be there more for the cookies than the sub sandwich, right?
It's been a long time since I've had a cookie from Subway, but I will tell you that it's been several years. I mean, this is even before I started trying to not eat sugar, because I would go in there and here's my order at Subway, which is ridiculous. Asiago cheese bread.
Love it. Right? Great.
Foot long. Mm-hmm. Meatball.
Yep.
Which automatically, if you've ever heard the Jim Gaffigan bit about, he goes, I can't possibly have a hamburger. Instead, why don't you ball them up and put six of them on my sandwich? And so... so I get the meatball sub on Asiago bread. I throw a little banana pepper on there, little onion, a little black olive, and then I have them douse it with extra marinara and spicy chipotle sauce, which is wildly caloric. So as I'm ordering all this shit, I look at the cookies and I go, not today, cookie.
Nah.
I've just ordered 6,000 calories in my sandwich.
Well, you haven't. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but everything you've done essentially is correctly. But you put a layer of pepperoni on that, and then you put a layer of provolone cheese on that, and you have yourself kind of a pizza meatball sub situation that is, for my money, about as good as you can get. I can't even be in a Subway anymore. I got food poisoning years ago, like I ate it at the Mall of America, which, what are you doing, right? You're eating a Subway sandwich at the mall? Come on, man. Subway has an incredibly distinct smell.
Yeah,
and
it does.
I think it's the plastic they put in the bread.
Yeah. I love we just went. We should just call this podcast Same Joke.
And so I can't even, I step foot in a Subway, I get nauseous because the smell reminds me of how sick I got. But the cookies, you could bring the cookies to my house. What I was getting at is back in the day, I'm showing up more for cookies than I am sandwich. But did you ever have that thing happen where you're showing up for the cookies and some slack ass fucking employee cooked them 3 minutes too long and they're these hard nub cookies?
Right.
But you can't not get the cookies. So now you're angrily eating crunchy Subway. The goo of the cookie, the softness of the Subway cookies is where the money's at. How do you fuck that up? It's a machine with a predetermined.
You eat a little bit. Yeah. You basically spin it like you're eating a disc corn on the cob, right?
Yes.
So you take the little hard crust off and now you're left with the softest fucking cookie of your whole life. Let me tell you something. You know how they throw
like
pasta against the wall to see if it's done?
Yeah. Sure.
You know how they do that? It's like throw the cookie against the window. If the window breaks, you left them in too long, you fuck. Put them in the garbage and try again. 3 minutes less this time.
Everything is so automated at Subway sandwich restaurants. How can you possibly screw up cookies? We've got a machine that's different than the other machines. What about is the amount of time? Like, it's very specifically designed. I do think a dark horse for me in all this is the Hershey's pie. The Burger King. Burger King gets no respect, man. No one mentions them near the top. They have better fries than everybody else. The onion rings are fantastic. The rodeo cheeseburger is out of this world. The pie is great. Have they made some questionable decisions? And I haven't been in a Burger King in a while, but it's my understanding that they discontinued the cinnamony. How the fuck you invent the cinnamony and walk away from it? Maybe it's a Subway cookie situation, because I will guess in my time, my era of consuming cinnamonies, I bet 60% of them I was like, oh, this sat on the warmer for a while.
Sure.
But when you got a soft one,
still
come on.
Down.
Come on.
Yeah, Burger King is good. Now, let me tell you this. The McDonald's fries, if people don't know, they used to be incredible because they were boiled in animal fat.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are boiled in they're fried or whatever in vegetable oil because a man had a heart attack and sued McDonald's because he had their fries. Now, there's a place in Fergus Falls called the Viking Cafe that has the best food, and they give a big fuck you to big vegetable oil, and they fry their fries still in animal fat, and they're the best fries, in my opinion, on planet Earth.
What type of animal are we talking here? Is this a conglomerate of animal fat?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
What I'm doing a lot of right now is I'm making a lot of, you know me, I make a lot of tacos with my little cassava tortillas.
Sure.
But I like to have a nice bacon topping. And so what I will do is I will fry up a bunch of bacon in a pan. Then when the bacon's done and I'm about to have my tacos for the day, I fry the taco shells in the bacon fat. And it's a lot.
Smart.
It's very bacony.
Can I tell you what I did for Father's Day? First of all, I didn't get any sort of social media love from either one of my children. Secondly,
that's great because a comedian would do a joke about it 6 years after you did, and he'd get a lot of attention on the internet.
My son, my son texted me happy Father's Day, but spelled day, D-Y-I. And my daughter.
Well, that was intentional. You need to get that beard game together.
No chance. My son or my daughter showed me a picture of a gift that wasn't there yet. So that's my Father's Day. Now, I got to spend it with my daughter. That was nice. And we were going to have steaks. The steaks did not come out of the freezer in time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not thawed. I can't cook them. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you to the store to get steaks that are thawed. I'm going to have you get some tortillas. We like wraps around the house. And so she comes back. She said, Dad, there weren't any steaks. So now I have to cut these frozen steaks into strips. We make fajitas. I bring them out on the grill. I'm starting to fry them. And I go, well, these fucking vegetables aren't sizzling. What's going on? I look underneath the flat top grill. No fire. I lift up the gas tank. Empty. Mm. Now, luckily, I have one of each grill. And so there was a gas tank on another one of my grills. So I pulled that over. But I'm telling you, after I made that meal, right, I was a little bit huffing and puffing about not getting any love on social media, getting a picture of a gift, getting a misspelled happy Father's Day with no punctuation. I was a little upset because I'm like, I fucking worked hard and I sacrificed a lot for these fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I love them and it hurts when a little bit.
Mm, sure.
And then after I cook that meal, I was like, yep, I get it. No other dad would have taken these steaks out at game time or run out of gas or whatever. So I just don't get the stuff. I get half Father's Day stuff because I work as a half father.
I love how self-deprecating you're being right now. I really like that you turned that inward. That's fun for me to watch. What is, and you know, obviously Father's Day was a couple of weeks ago. But I have a good friend who I was speaking to, and his wife,
sure,
they have two kids, and his wife asked him what he wants to do for Father's Day. And his idea was, I want to find out wherever he's a baseball fan. I want to find out wherever my favorite team is, and I just want to go there for the weekend and just watch the games. Go to a hotel, watch a bunch of innings of baseball, eat food, the end. Do you think, because Father's and Mother's Day, they're so, I think traditionally, all I've ever thought of them is like, well, here's your gift. Like, we eat, everything is normal. And then you're like, here's the thing we got you that you're going to pretend to like, right? Do you think that should be shifted more towards like, hey, what do you really want? Like, what's the big dad, because I think there's that, it's the idea that like, because it's Father's Day, part of Father's Day should be spending time with your kids who appreciate you. That's the one of the rewards of Father's Day, is you're with your kids. But
I've never understood that at all, because it's like, on Veterans Day, do we send them over to fucking fight in a war? No. They get the day off. Banks are closed.
It's exactly right.
So it's like, well, it's Father's Day. Why? What?
Yeah.
Maybe I want to do something that I don't get to do normally. Now, I will tell you this. I'm bitching and moaning, but I did have a great
How about a good night's sleep without having to rip a pocket door open? Happy Father's Day.
Honestly, how about one day that I don't have to hear about these four fucking years? How about one day where we just skip it? Huh? I did have a good Father's Day, and I was asked, what do you want to do? Now, granted, I was asked late Saturday evening
sure.
what I wanted to do. So there were no making plans to go watch baseball out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get to play games. I got to watch a lot of the final round of the U.S. Open.
Okay.
I got to go swimming. I got to do a lot of things that I did want to do, and it was very nice. And I did happen to spend it with my daughter. My son didn't make it out. And then also Kelsey was there. So it was very nice.
That's great. And to wrap all that up, what was the thing that enraged you today that made you, that changed the dynamic of the way you're interacting with the world? Go.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.